Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Second-hand guitar. Never thought it would happen, but I found myself in a second-hand guitar. So I've just got to know, I truly have to know. So you've got to let me know.
It's your
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 483. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Scott Duff.
And you're on the couch.
I am on the couch.
We're normally in the kitchen. Mitchell and I are normally in the couch or in the bed.
I know. I enjoy being in the couch. It's nice to be up in the inner sanctum. You're I feel like I've gained entryway. Everybody tries to gain entry to Amy Matheny.
It's true. They try to get to the couch.
They do.
They try to get to the couch.
How to get to the couch nugget.
I have fur throws from out west.
I know. It's very sensual.
Yeah,
and
it's Teddy bear chenille with a little.
It is teddy bear chenille. I don't
know what kind of animal that is. And please, people who love animals, don't text me.
It's not a real animal.
Okay, it's not a real animal.
You're a lying liar. She's trying to be fancy.
It's a fake fur.
Thing. It's a purple sheep.
It's a purple sheep.
It's a purple sheep. We're sitting on our gotta get a gun to couch.
Yeah, it's right. And I got that purple sheep out west, and you have just returned.
I have returned.
A Brokeback Mountain cowboy.
But without the self-loathing and hatred.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm so glad about that.
And there was little violence, which was very exciting about that. Yeah,
yes.
We were in Jackson, Wyoming.
Yes.
Which, have you ever been?
I've never been to Wyoming.
Holy
for many reasons I would like to.
Shnikes.
Yeah, first time?
First time. Yeah, well, Jerry had been there before, right? Like about 10 years ago. So it'd been a while.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Okay,
oh
first God. Thoughts. Like touchdown.
Touchdown. I literally walked off because you land in... Okay, Jackson Hole is called Jackson Hole because it's a hole.
Because it's dirty.
It is. No, it's a hole in the ground.
Yes.
Like it is just like it's this flat, flat valley. And the Tetons, which I learned, were kind of like the newest member of the Rocky Mountains.
Uh-huh.
They popped up, I forget how many millions of years ago, but they're younger than the rest of the Rocky Mountains. And
Okay. They're
so strange because they just kind of shot right up.
Uh-huh.
You know, like there's
Are they red?
No, they're gorgeous. They kind of are like Purple Mountains Majesty.
Purple. Oh, okay.
They're purpley, but they're green. I mean, but the thing is, there are no foothills and no gradual incline. It's like you're walking mountain. Like, it's huge.
Like skyscrapers.
Like skyscrapers, almost. So when you land in the hole.
Uh-huh.
And it's the airport is so tiny.
Yes.
Because, you know, only Harrison Ford flies there.
Yes.
Or whatever. It's really, really small.
Does he take Callista?
He does take Callista, I think. And then he force feeds her.
Force feeds her elk.
Eat this elk.
Some protein so she can keep going.
Come on,
Callista. Skinny little frame.
I know, poor little waif. But the airport's really cute. But it's one of those deals where... you are on the tarmac.
Uh-huh.
But when you come out of the plane, the first thing you see are the Tetons. And I just was like, holy shit balls. I mean, it doesn't look real. It looks like you're on a movie set. Because it's like, it's just pristine and gorgeous and this amazing sky. And so we landed there and we're just like, And there's this thing which is so politically incorrect. There's this, on the butte across from... The Tetons.
Did you just say Butte?
I did say Butte.
Have you used the word Butte a lot since you returned from
Wyoming? No, actually, we were traveling with somebody who's a 70-year-old retired professor who's very kind of prim and proper, and she's very, very precise with her language, and she kind of talks like this, and she's really, really lovely, and she's a huge conservationist, and she's also a theater person, and she's very, very strange, but she's very proper. So every time we'd pass something that said, like, a sign for a Butte, I'm like, oh, look, it's a butt. And it would really offend her. So I just kept sitting talking about butts, and the Grand Tetons really stands for big titties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, oh, look at the big titties over there. And there's a butt over there. I mean, it was just, and she was kind of, oh, dear. Oh my. So that was kind of my little fun game. But there's this, like, across on the Butte or the butt, there's this rock formation, and it looks like a sleeping Indian. It looks like,
oh, wow.
You know, but. Yeah. A Native American.
Right.
Not you know, yes. That sort of thing. So, like, you're looking at all this beauty. And we were lucky enough to be staying inside Teton National Park.
Wow.
At this ranch, this big institute. One of the leading conservationists of the 20th century were Marty and Olis Murie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of them that we have the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, and the big conservation movement really kind of took off in the mid 20th century because of these people. And we got to stay basically at their house.
Because you were there for a theater piece that you'd gotten a grant to go and perform this project. So we don't want to say you're off on some elaborate Harrison Ford vacation.
We weren't.
I mean, you kind of were.
We kind of were, because we performed the show once.
So it was funded trip.
And then we stayed on for a couple weeks. But it really was just absolutely gorgeous. And the hiking, I almost broke poor Jerry, because we took a tram up to the top of Rendezvous Mountain, and we hiked 15 miles down it.
Oh, that's going to hurt the front of your thighs.
Oh my God, it hurt your knees. I understand why deer knees go backwards, because all I wanted to do was, like, dear Lord, we were going to think about walking down backwards, because it was like the incline is killing me.
Yeah.
And we had to stop.
Your toes, your knees, the tops of your
calves. Your toes, your knees. We ended up putting our, like, having to stop and, like, take our shoes off and put our feet in this, like, icy, icy, icy mountain stream just to cool off and help them out.
What's the weather like there? Was it just glorious?
It was gorgeous. It was like mid 80s, but zero humidity.
Mm-hmm.
We saw so many different animals.
Tell me what you saw.
Okay.
I mean, what's kind of native to that you seeing in their wildlife?
Well, we started out seeing a lot of moose.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Are they meese? If you see more than one moose?
No, it's one. It's a group of moose. I think a lady moose is a meese. Is what I think.
Are you call them a group? A group of moose.
A gaggle of moose. But we do know that they're called a murder of crows, which was one of my favorites.
A murder of crows. Oh, you mean that's a group of crows?
That's a group of crows.
A murder?
And a group of asses is a pace of asses, which I think is...
A pace of asses?
Which is going to be, it's going to be my autobiography, I think. Dealing with a pace of asses.
Did you see a lot of pace of asses?
We didn't see pace of asses, but we saw moose, and we saw some eagles.
Ooh.
Bears? We saw, but especially when we got up to Yellowstone, because we went up there. Yellowstone... Really pretty, so touristy, but just gorgeous.
Well, you're there in July, so.
Yeah, it was
July, high. August.
Yeah, it was so, like, tourist season. But we saw, like, three black bears, one of which came, like, 5 feet within our car.
You were in your car.
We were in the car.
Thank God.
Yes, we were in the car. And we saw a grizzly bear that was, like, actually sneaking up on these elk.
Ooh.
We're sitting there, like, are those elk dead? Because they're not moving, because there's a really big grizzly there. And all of a sudden, about 20 yards away, the elk heard the grizzly, and then they bounded off.
Wow.
But I'm like, holy shnikes.
Yeah.
And then we saw my weird sort of emotional moment was driving in the car and coming on head on into this herd of like 250 to 300 bison.
Oh my God.
That were just like crossing the street, and they were really close to the car. And I decided that I'm a bison.
What do you mean?
Well, because they have really big barrel chests.
Which
they
you have.
They have dainty, tiny feet.
Which you have.
And they wear fancy pants.
Which you're wearing right now.
I'm wearing fancy pants right
now.
Wearing
some fancy pants plaids right now.
Yeah. So I am a bison. And they make this crazy Jurassic Park sound.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Here's my bison sound.
Okay.
It's, I don't know if I can do it. I'm not going to do it justice. But it's like this. It's like... Like that. But imagine to it. Shut up. It's true.
So it's right outside your door. There are like
200 of them.
250 of them. And then some of them, they were beginning the rutting season. Now, rutting season, if you don't know what that is, it's when the boys try to get it with the girls, but they got to fight each other. They got to fight each other to prove who's the most manly and more appealing.
Do the girls want to get taken by the boys? Or are they running from them?
They're kind of like they're hanging out. They're like, hey, what?
Sticking their butts out.
Yeah, and they've got horns too, which is interesting because most lady ones don't. But they're just like, hey, what's up going on? Yeah. Fight for me. Fight for me. It was like some weird Spike Lee movie happening, you know, but they like
with like Rosie Perez is like
Mookie Bison, come here, you know, and they would come up and they were just like they would start to butt each other's heads
like rams,
but bigger.
Yeah, because they're like sledgehammers. Like I think of like their heads as and their the front part of them as being like things you crack concrete with.
Yes, you could.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're just like there's a massive like flat surface, the tops of their heads.
The bison, like, they're just crazy. I mean, are you talking about the rams or the bison?
Now? The bison.
The bison. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're far more attractive than a bison.
I am. I'm much cuter.
But I understand. But we do have, I understand your animal spirit, possibly.
It's my totem.
It's your totem.
It's my totem animal spirit.
It's good to know what we can give you as collectibles that, now.
Please don't. I made the mistake of like telling my mom I liked giraffes years ago, and I got just a shit ton of giraffes. So we had to put a moratorium on that. No more bison.
It's so sad when you tell a family member that like one thing that you like and you just like it. You're not like crazy sycophant obsessive.
Yes.
And then all you get, they're like, but you like that. Like, or do you say you like a meal? Like it becomes the thing they make every time you come home because they think you like it. So I just wanted to preface that we're not all going to start getting you bison things.
No, but I am thinking about a bison tattoo.
Ooh.
I know.
For your totem. Where?
On my calf.
On your calf? On the back of your calf?
But the bison, see this little baby thing?
I like calf. It. What if one half of his body was on one calf and the other half was on the
other
calf?
I think that'd be weird because then I'd have to like put them together. And if I ever gained weight in my calf, just exclusive my calf, that might be like a par. The butt might be bigger than the head.
Yeah,
and then they got sweet little asses. You know, they're tiny.
And fancy pants.
So, but what was so interesting, we were walking around and we're like, we don't see any gays walking around.
Well, if you heard my Italian podcast, I was kind of like, the first couple of seasons, I was like, where are the gays in Rome? Where are the gays here?
Well, but like in Europe, you know.
I still expected to see them, and I still look for them, but I understand they might not be in Wyoming. No, we finally saw them, obviously.
Of course they are. But because like when I took a group of students over to Europe, I was like, here is a new fun game that we play. You look at the window and you look at people and you say gay or just European, because they all look gay. Right. All Europeans look gay.
Yes.
They've got good style. They care about their hair. Yeah. They all look gay.
Yeah.
So, but we were really like, why aren't you going out? Go into the woods and like, I mean, have your own Brokeback Mountain-ish experience. I mean, let me tell you. There's something about altitude and my libido.
Mm-hmm.
The higher the altitude, the higher the libido. I'm telling you,
really?
That's a terrible thing to say. But it was
bringing sexy back, huh?
It was, because you're like, you feel virile and alive, and you're tromping through this mountain, and there are these beautiful flowers, and then there are these little tiny things called pikas, which are also called rock rabbits.
Uh-huh.
And they're crazy. They live on, like, the rocky sides of the mountains. And
never even heard of them.
I know. Neither had I. But I called them like, you know, little scree condos, you know, like little pika condos, because they would live in the side of the mountains like Melrose Place. And they would hang out, like you could hear them as you were walking, and they go wing, wing. And you're like, what the fuck
is that
going on? So
wing,
wing, wing. They make this little crazy bleat sound. And you're like, pika. But yeah, but it's absolutely stunning. It's really gorgeous.
Okay, so it's gorgeous. There's lots of good animal machismo going on.
And Jackson.
And you want to have sex.
And Jackson itself.
Yes.
Is really kind of tony and sophisticated. There's some really lovely restaurants there. Some good bars. With like, they're doing some interesting things there. It's a little touristy, but I mean,
Once again, the season you were going to. But
it's the population of Jackson itself is about 8,800.
Oh gosh.
It's tiny.
So
it's really tiny, and they have Grindr works perfectly there. I mean, you will find them.
Quick.
You will find them quick, because they're like,
you will find the other four. You will find the other four.
And they are within driving distance.
So did you feel you know, you've been with your partner for a long time. I mean, did you feel safe? Did you feel comfortable? Did you feel like you could kind of be out? Not that you'd be in, but I just mean, you know, or how did
it definitely felt a little different because mm-hmm. there are, it's cowboy land.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a bunch of bumper stickers, mm-hmm. you know, about like, you know, go Mitt and yep. all this stuff around there. But it felt
more conservative.
It felt more conservative. But again, when you're going to like, we found the one vegetarian restaurant,
right,
cafe
right.
type thing where it was nothing but ladies that were serving you. So like, I was like, oh, okay, we can be totally homo here. And there's some of the fancier, like more, you know, high tone restaurants.
Right.
It didn't really feel like a problem.
Did you, do you have a life of going camping? I mean, were you a, did you do camping or
did
you and Jerry ever camp or stuff
we
like that?
We don't, but now we kind of want to find our gay camping group.
Gay camping.
And there is one, I think, in
gay
Chicago.
Hiking.
Uh-huh. I think it's called like the Lincoln Park Lagooners or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And because we were like, we need to do this more often. I mean, really, it was an incredible exercise of beautiful views, just being outside. It was,
I mean, that's what I loved. I mean, when I lived in New Mexico for a month a year ago, and you know, you guys know I was podcasting from New Mexico. You know, I was just there by myself with a dog, but I loved being out and loved hiking and thought I'd love to come, you know, have more experience of knowing what that's about. And I don't know that I really love doing overnights on the ground in a tent.
Oh yeah, no, that
doesn't
I'm
always appeal to me. It probably appeals to Jerry more than you, but
yeah,
I doesn't appeal to me because I can't sleep in most once I sleep, I'm a sleeper, but like in my own bed, I have no problem sleeping, but I can't sleep in like sitting in a chair. I can't sleep lying on the floor.
Yeah,
I need a bed.
And a shower.
But I, you know, I too kind of felt like this is really something I enjoy. I'm so curious about the world. I love, you know, just being amongst nature like that in
and
a way.
Yeah, it's kind of good, like maybe not necessarily for a month because
but I just mean like it inspired me.
Yeah, we were there for 3 weeks, which for me was just a little too long.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a city guy.
You are a city guy.
I missed cabs and Indian food real bad.
Yeah.
But it was, there was something about just like being outside and, and again, the Tetons, I'm telling you, there was something just absolute. It felt like I was expecting a hobbit to round a corner. You know, it was just so Middle Earth through here. And I'm like, oh, wow. It was
so really lush.
Lush,
I mean, really
and
lush.
Beautiful.
Which is different than where I was hiking.
And different
terrains.
Yeah. It would change in an instant.
I've seen some of your pictures and just, I mean, because obviously you saw Old Faithful and you see all the natural springs and geysers and hot springs and places where the earth is just bubbling up and the water and the rocks and the creeks. And I mean, just all these sources of water and land that you're kind of around, it seemed like, in all of your exploration.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I'm telling you, I want to go back in the wintertime to see what it's like when it's all snowed in.
See, and that's the interesting thing. People always, I mean, I loved being in New Mexico in February, and I like being in those climates sometimes when it's not the peak. When other people think it's beautiful, I tend to think it's beautiful then, yes, but I also find other times of year like so beautiful, and I definitely find something about cold air in mountains or cold air in woods or hiking. I don't want to be freezing. I don't really want to be going through
Jackson's
a blizzard.
Cold, and they get an average, I forget, like some ridiculous amount of snow every year.
Yeah,
like 300
there,
feet.
Right?
Skiing. It's
all
skiing. All
skiing.
And I don't ski.
Yeah.
But I want to.
Wow. It's late in life to start skiing
and breaking bones. No, it's not.
Okay.
My legs are good from hiking those 15 miles, and I would look really cute in those fancy pants, ski pants.
You would. And then a cocktail.
And then a cocktail
and a hot tub. I see it all.
I'm done.
I think you're actually going to start the new LGBT trend in Jackson Hole.
Done.
The gay hiking trend in Jackson Hole. And I'll go. I'll be one of your first clients.
And the hats are so cute.
I know. The cowboy hats.
The cowboy hats.
You had such a Brokeback look about you.
It was wonderful.
All there. It was very
And I felt
good.
So butch.
You are butch.
Very.
You're very butch.
Yes.
Would you like to make the bison sound again? I mean, I'm.
You're rutting right now.
My Kinsey 3 is really, it's really teetering and tottering and teetering and tottering. Hey, we have to tell you what's going on in the GLBT news. And also Meryl Streep, whom I love.
Me too.
Who Oprah Winfrey always calls Merle. Meryl Streep is in a new film that looks super, super funny. Steve Carell and Tommy Lee Jones, Hope Springs, and Richard Knight Jr. is going to tell us if it actually is funny and if all of these fantastic actors have hit
hit gold because I think it looks like it's going to be a great movie. And then we'll be back because we have to talk about what you do with your pets when you go on these long trips.
I know.
And also just we want to talk about gays and their pets in general. So not bison.
No.
Not bison
pets. I wanted to bring one home, though.
I know. Or one of those little...
I wanted to put a saddle on it and ride it to work.
Oh, I could imagine that.
I know.
But you need a job.
Shut up.
Don't miss the most ambitious and spectacular burlesque show ever to hit Chicago. Superstars of Burlesque. A cast of over 25 performers grace the stage at Chicago's historic Music Box Theater on Friday, September 21st. Enjoy a night of glitz, glamour, and nearly nude debauchery in this one-night-only event created by Michelle L'Amour. Tickets are $25. VIP admission is $50 and includes two drink tickets and priority seating. And buying two VIP tickets gets you a bottle of champagne to share. Superstars of Burlesque is one night only, Friday, September 21st at the Music Box Theater in Chicago. For tickets and a sneaky peek, visit superstarsofburlesque.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. In Washington, D.C., a security guard at the Family Research Council, or FRC, was shot the morning of August 14th after scuffling with a man who disagreed with the group's conservative viewpoints. The gunman has been identified as Floyd Lee Corkins II, 28, a resident of Herndon, Virginia, who worked at the LGBT rights organization, the D.C. Center. Afterwards, FRC accused the Southern Poverty Law Center of sparking the hatred that led to Corkins' actions, calling the shooting an act of domestic terrorism.
Recently, four of seven gay candidates won elections in Atlanta. Three LGBT incumbent state lawmakers faced voters in contested Democratic primaries, and a fourth incumbent did not face any primary opposition. Representative Simone Bell and Keisha Waitz won, while Representative Taylor lost. Two other gay men seeking seats in the state legislature, Tim Riley in Senate District 47 and Timothy Swiney in House District 101, did not face primary opponents but will face GOP foes in November.
In Florida, the Jacksonville City Council rejected the proposed 2012-296 non-discrimination ordinance, which would have protected individuals on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. The measure would have created a cause of action for money damages against private citizens who felt they were being treated unfairly in workplace, housing, and public accommodations.
Mary Gonzalez, a Democratic Texas representative candidate who previously made headlines as the state's first openly gay rep, has identified herself in an interview as pansexual. Gonzalez is not facing any Republican opposition, clearing the way for her to be part of the state legislature.
The United States District Court for the District of Nevada has agreed to hear a lawsuit brought by Lens Legal on behalf of eight same-sex couples challenging the state's law banning gay marriage equality. Governor Brian Sandoval had moved to dismiss the case, Sevcik versus Sandoval.
David Rakoff, a gay essayist who won the 2011 Thurber Prize for American Humor, died August 9th in New York City at the age of 47. A longtime contributor to the public radio show This American Life, Rakoff also wrote essays that appeared in publications such as the New York Times, GQ, and Slate.
Former Army Colonel Tammy Smith has become the first openly gay flag officer to come out while currently serving in the United States military. She was promoted to the rank of Brigadier General in a private ceremony that took place at the Women's Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery. Smith received her stars from her wife, Tracy Heppner.
In Hawaii, a federal district court has upheld the state's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in the 120-page ruling. The U.S. District Judge Alan Kay said that Hawaii has a legitimate interest in restricting marriage to opposite-sex couples.
The pro-LGBT campaign Freedom to Marry has met its initial 2012 goal of raising and investing $3 million in three key states where marriage is on the ballot in November. Freedom to Marry now intends to continue working to raise more funds toward the more than $10 million the three campaigns still need.
The Federal Aviation Administration has released new medical certification procedures for transgender pilots that eliminate psychological testing that had previously been required. From now on, medical certification for trans pilots will require only submitting current clinical records together with an evaluation from a psychiatrist or psychologist, as well as a report on any surgery.
In North Carolina, Davidson College has become the first educational institution to suspend Chick-fil-A. Students began protesting against serving Chick-fil-A at a school-sponsored late-night event called After Midnight, and an online petition garnered about 500 signatures. Several colleges have seen student protests against Chick-fil-A restaurants located on campus, but Davidson doesn't actually have one at their school.
Helen Gurley Brown, the legendary editor of Cosmopolitan magazine, who many say helped bring about the sexual revolution, died August 13th at the age of 90. Gurley Brown wrote Sex and the Single Girl about her single life, urging women to have sex freely regardless of their marital status. She became editor at Cosmo from 1962 until 1997.
Democratic United States Representative Tammy Baldwin, aiming to be the first out gay U.S. senator ever, will face former four-term Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson in November after he won a GOP primary August 14th. Thompson had been known in the past for working with Democrats, but he took a more conservative turn during this campaign.
In the fight for what will be Baldwin's former seat in Wisconsin, openly gay state representative Mark Pocan won the Democratic primary for the 2nd Congressional District on August 14th, besting three challengers. He now faces Republican Chad Lee in November.
David Richardson won his Democratic primary to become the first openly LGBT candidate elected to the Florida state legislature. Richardson was elected to the Florida House in District 113, representing Miami Beach. No Republican is running, guaranteeing Richardson's historic win. In addition, Joe Saunders, an out Democrat, also won his primary and will go on to the general election in the fall.
Vanguard High School in Ocala, Florida, can now have a gay-straight alliance. U.S. District Judge Marsha Morales Howard signed an order requiring Marion County school officials to permit the alliance.
A record 477 of the 2012 Fortune 500 companies, or 95.4%, voluntarily include sexual orientation in their employment non-discrimination policies. Just 8 years ago, only 64.6% of companies had that protection. Among the 23 non-compliant companies are ExxonMobil and Dish Network.
Andrew Scherville, the Michigan Attorney General who was fired after harassing gay University of Michigan student body president Chris Armstrong, has been ordered to pay $4.5 million in damages. Scherville lost his job in 2010 after repeatedly harassing Armstrong with his blog postings.
A young person found deceased in an abandoned building on Chicago's west side has been identified as a gender-variant young person. Donta Gooden, who also went by Tiffany, 19, was found murdered August 14th with multiple stab wounds. Gooden was found just three blocks from where another transgender person, Paige Clay, was found murdered in April.
In Utah, a Salt Lake City bar literally came under fire when a group of men launched flaming projectiles into the Night Spot's patio area. Approximately 35 people filled the outdoor space at the nightclub Jam when the flares were thrown. No one was injured. The assailants were described as blonde young adults who escaped in a vehicle.
In world news, in Canada, hundreds of locals participated in an anti-homophobia march at the University of Alberta 2 weeks after a student was attacked. Three men assaulted Chevy Rabbit, 26. A Canadian survey recently found hate crimes motivated by sexual orientation were more likely than other crimes of that kind to result in physical injury to the victim.
Taiwan had its first same-sex Buddhist wedding ceremony as a lesbian couple tied the knot. However, a bill to legalize same-sex marriage in Taiwan has been pending since 2003.
A Russian judge has found three members of the punk band Pussy Riot guilty of hooliganism. The women were arrested in March after a guerrilla performance in Moscow's main cathedral calling for the Virgin Mary to protect Russia from Vladimir Putin. The members of the group could get 7 years in jail each. Madonna recently performed in Russia with the band's name on her back.
Transgender contestant Luke Anderson won the 13th season of Big Brother UK. Anderson, age 31, began treatment to change from female to male 4 years ago. Anderson's wife, Becky, joined him on stage at the end of the show to celebrate their one-year wedding anniversary.
And in entertainment news, Kate Blanchett and Mia Wasikowska are attached to the film Carol, slated to come out next year. Carol is based on Patricia Highsmith's novel, The Price of Salt, an erotic thriller that is about the relationship between two women in New York City in the 1950s. Highsmith also wrote The Talented Mr. Ripley.
David Mamet's The Anarchist, a two-woman drama starring Tony Award winner Patti LuPone and Oscar nominee Deborah Winger, will start its run at Broadway's Golden Theater on December 2nd with Mamet directing. The play, set in a female penitentiary, is about two powerful women forced to engage in a cage match of wits. This will be Winger's Broadway debut.
In her first major directorial job in television, Jodie Foster is set to direct and executive produce Angie's Body, a drama project set at Showtime. Angie's Body features a clever, sexy, and necessary lethal woman who runs a family-based crime syndicate.
Out R&B singer Frank Ocean abruptly dropped out of his European tour, which included a potentially career-making stint opening for Coldplay. Apparently, vocal problems are to blame.
Comic actress Wendy McClendon Covey, known for her roles in the movie Bridesmaid and the TV show Reno 911, will guest star in the ABC show Modern Family as half of a lesbian couple. Saturday Night Live alum Michaela Watkins will portray her partner.
Sean Hayes is going to reunite with Deborah Messing on Smash next season. Hayes will play Terrence Falls, a TV and film comedian making his Broadway debut in the musical Liaisons.
Ron Polillo, known as Arnold Horshack on the 70s TV show Welcome Back, Kotter, died of an apparent heart attack August 14th at the age of 63. Polillo is survived by Joseph Graham, his partner of 41 years.
And teen actor Ezra Miller came out to Out Magazine. Miller starred in We Need to Talk About Kevin and is in the upcoming The Perks of Being a Wallflower, where his character is also gay.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey guys, this is Miss Cleo. I want you to listen to Windy City Queercast.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. and here's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute. Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones pair up beautifully in Hope Springs, a drama with just enough laughs to qualify for the romantic comedy label the film is being marketed under. But the strong acting of the two leads is in service to a well-intentioned but very talky script and isn't nearly as entertaining as it would like to be. Certainly, it pales next to The Devil Wears Prada, the 2006 first collaboration between Streep and director David Frankel. Not that the subject matter, which focuses on an upper-middle-aged housewife trying to put the zing back into her marriage by visiting a sex therapist with her reluctant husband, would suggest otherwise. Kay, Streep's character, is wife and mother with a part-time job who yearns for intimacy and, better yet, hot time out of the sheets from her dry-as-dust husband of 31 years, Arnold, Jones's character. Kay makes a sudden decision to shake up the relationship by enrolling the pair in an intensive week with the nationally renowned couples therapist, Dr. Bernie Feld, Steve Carell, who is restrained in a nothing role. She heads for picturesque Hope Springs, Maine, where the doctor lives, and at the last minute, Arnold unwillingly goes along. Basically, the rest of the movie veers back and forth between the couple's cramped motel room and the doctor's office as Kay and Arnold engage in the quote-unquote assignments from the doc. Stuff like Kay secretly devouring the bestseller Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man, with a peeled banana clutched in her hand at the ready, and later trying to spice things up by giving Arnold a blowjob in a darkened movie theater. This admittedly low comedy scene is brought off with expected finesse by the actors, but as it unreels, part of you also can't help thinking about 17,000 other things you'd rather do than watch Meryl Streep trying to give Tommy Lee Jones head. Though hope does eventually spring and blossom for Kay and Arnold, it's a long haul. As long a haul for them as it is for us. As the layers are peeled away, a lot of humiliating stuff comes out, but these things never really get resolved or fully addressed, as the goal of the couple getting their mojo back seems to be the doc's primary ambition. Ironically, the movie, too, has intimacy issues that it never takes the time or seems to have the inclination to address. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Net at the Movies Mega Minute.
Vancouver is home to Western Canada's largest LGBT population, and now you can enter for your chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction prize package to Vancouver, British Columbia. a safe and welcoming destination for diehard shoppers, avid outdoor thrill seekers, nightlife aficionados, and dedicated food lovers, Vancouver is a world-class city offering something for everyone. From sports pubs to drag shows, leather bars to dance clubs, lounges and restaurants, Vancouver's got it all. Plus, Vancouver Pride celebrations and the Vancouver Queer Film Festival in July and August, and Whistler's Winter Pride in February. Tourism Vancouver is pleased to offer you and a guest the chance to win a trip to Vancouver in 2013. For a chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction sweepstakes, visit tourismvancouver.com/lights by November 30th, 2012 to enter. That's tourismvancouver.com/lights.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
Just another day, just another day. I'm here where I belong. Any other place, any other way, I'd sing a day. Song, you wouldn't sing along, would you? Would you? Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds.
So we're back with Scott Duff. He has now ridden his bison.
I've ridden my bison across the alley back over
back to,
the
my house, to the couch. So tell me, you know, we were talking about this right before we started recording of like, because you have a dog, Buster.
I have, yes.
And I have a dog, Nilla.
Yes.
Who we try to edit out of the podcast whenever we can when she's being noisy. But
she's not really, Nilla's not really noisy. She kind of makes that curly sound from the Three Stooges.
Yes.
She doesn't, that's her bark.
It's her bark. She's
it's
a delicate.
Strange. And Buster sounds like Barry White.
Yes.
He's yeah. like a little tiny guy with his really big, deep voice.
Yes. He may be the butchest thing in your house.
Yes.
But you're gaining
next
ground.
Next to the bison.
Next to the bison.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, you know, I've actually this past week had a few people on Facebook post that they lost their animals, and I don't want to talk about that subject except to say, but, you know, they are a part of our family, our dogs, our cats, our
Absolutely.
Animals. Absolutely. I shouldn't just say dogs and cats, but those are probably primarily the two. But, you know, they become little parts of our family. And so, you know, various people have different relationships with their animals and when they travel or even when they're at home. But you were saying you feel like there are some obsessive qualities around gay people and their pets.
Oh my God. Jerry and I, first off.
Yes.
We've got a problem.
You're guilty as charged.
Oh, we're beyond guilty. I think like we wrote the book. I mean, we've created, we have this little guy. He's a rescue dog.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Yes.
And we have created this whole backstory for him and a voice that he speaks
of
and
course.
He talks to us. He swears. Like we know what his favorite music is.
Right.
We know what movies he enjoys.
Yes.
It's bordering on ridiculous. And Jerry actually wants to dress him up, which there I draw the line. I'm like, no. The dog.
He might like it. Some of them do.
He doesn't. I know. Bubba, another dog of yours in previous times, he enjoyed wearing costumes. Buster does not.
Yes.
He clearly does not.
Yes.
But that doesn't stop Jerry from bringing home, like, look, it's a sweater. I'm like, we live in Memphis. It's like 1,000 degrees.
Yes.
He's covered in fur already. He doesn't need a sweater. He's a dog. They don't wear clothes. But even when we were in Wyoming, we're like, oh, he would wear a cute little cowboy hat and little chaps.
Yes.
And he would tell.
Yeah.
He would do shit, you know. Buster swears a lot. Sorry.
He does.
But yeah, but we're he's like our child.
You and you were not with him for 3 weeks, which
we're
is
with him,
four weeks.
For
three or four weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
And so that's hard.
It was hard. And also just trying to find, because I mean, we're such
like we're puppy whipped.
Yep.
That we can't, the thought of putting him in a kennel.
Oh yeah.
Is just like killed us. So we had to find somebody who would take our dog.
Yep.
Into their home for 3 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, it was horrible. And we would like call every day for a while. We made sure that we brought over like, here's his food. And this is mm-hmm. a new toy for him. And we brought a toy for your dog so that your dog will have its own toy. And then, mm-hmm. you know, this is how he needs to go out. This is yes. his schedule. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And there was times when like we would look at a bison
mm-hmm.
and we'd be like, that looks like Buster.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't look like Buster. It looks like bison. Like
yes.
Buster stands about 13 inches tall. Yes. And he's...
Yes, it's like the hoof of a bison.
Although he does have... Buster does have... He's got a nub for a tail. Mm-hmm. So he does kind of have a reindeer ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which he keeps mighty clean.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that he could like sneak...
Is he gay, Buster?
No.
He's straight.
He's very straight. Although he does have very confusing crush. He's got one confusing crush on this dog, Shadow.
Okay. Oh, yes,
he
I remember that.
He loves
crush.
Shadow. And every time he sees Shadow, he tries to hump his face.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
They're very fluid animals. I don't think they actually, you know, they know how to procreate if that's what they're up to doing. But they'll really hump anything.
Oh, they'll hump anything.
The ones that like to hump.
Oh, yeah.
Which Nilla's a humper.
She is. I know. She has
she
an affinity for
you.
My legs.
She likes
loves
men.
Me.
She's not. She is not she is not a lesbian.
No.
Nilla is
no, she
very
likes
straight.
The guys.
She likes the men.
She's a whore.
She
your dog is a whore.
With
but
you.
It's,
with
me.
You.
Yeah.
Because you let her be a whore.
I kind of
you don't discourage it?
I don't.
At all.
No, but, and I kind of hump her back.
I know
it's
you
like,
do.
It's this very straight. That sounded very much weirder
we're leaving
than it
that
is.
In. It's
oh,
not
shit.
Getting edited out.
No!
No.
Damn it.
Truth is told.
No, but,
we're
but,
truth
you know,
seekers here at the Queercast.
We are truth seekers, and I'm admitting my truth right yes. here is what I'm saying.
It's okay. That's the first step.
Thank you. I made it to the couch. You're what are you doing to me? It's like Barbara Walters. I'm telling you all these
it's
things.
It's true. It's true.
But yeah, but I think it's just really interesting that since a lot of people, like gay couples, don't have children,
mm-hmm.
you kind of do this weird thing where you transfer all of this child rearing mm-hmm. attention to your animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the first to admit it. Like, I've mm-hmm. got a bad...
I'm curious if gay people, you know, behave differently with their animals than straight. Because, I mean, I definitely think there are, you know, straight couples who have kids or don't have kids, empty nesters, and they do a lot of this transference where, you know, the dog becomes more important than possibly even the marriage or the relationship or...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there definitely can be scapegoats for that. I mean, you all do that mutually. So it's something that you all share, that you and Jerry share. I, you know, I think with, you know, I don't feel like I'm obsessive about Nilla, but Nilla has wormed her way into my heart. Like, because I was not a dog person.
Yeah, you really aren't obsessive about it.
I'm not that
her.
Obsessive.
You really
aren't. But I think why I'm not obsessive is because I did travel a lot and I had to be used to, I mean, I too have never kenneled her and there's nothing wrong with good kennels at all.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, but I've just always had people who would come and stay in my house when I travel and stay with Nilla. And luckily I've had, you know, two or three people who've consistently done that over her
yeah.
entire 8-year life. So, you know, when I make plans and trips, I usually call one of them and try to lock somebody in, you know? And so they're all kind of like Nilla's godmothers, you know?
Right.
She has like lots of little fairy godmothers and is kind of excited to have time with them. And I know they know about her. You know, her, just how she is. But she's also the world's easiest dog. And I think if you had a dog...
Because she's a slut.
Because she's a
slut. She's very easy.
She's very easy. But I think that if... I think that easy as Sunday morning. I think that if, you know, you have a dog that has special needs or, you know, it is good to find people that, you know, can really take... Because they are. They're like extensions of our family.
They really
little
are.
Extensions of us.
Like... Okay.
Although I don't think Nilla's a reflection of me. I don't think anybody's going to think I'm humping like somebody's leg because my dog's a little
Well, they don't
humpy.
Know you then.
Well that's
truth,
true.
Secrecy, we're telling the truth
okay.
here. We're leaving that in.
Okay.
Table to turn. How do you like it, Bethany? No, but I think, but it's really true. You know, our friends.
Or if men or women are different.
I don't think so. I mean, because
our friends David and Rebecca,
yes,
who live in Chicago, they've got these crazy awesome dogs.
Yep.
Operative
on crazy.
They're crazy, awesome. Yeah.
And awesome.
Clarence is crazy.
They're far more hyper than
they're very your hyper dog and very dog. Big.
And very big.
Clarence is. Rhoda is tiny, yes. And I think is plotting Clarence's death. See, I go inside the mind, and it's strange, but like our friend Cecilia,
this may be your next show, actually. I think Inside the Mind of,
no, it's just called Dog Narrative or Pet Narrative. It's really strange. I create mm-hmm. these lives. It's
I'm
it's
just saying I think it might be me. I think it might be a new hit show for you.
It could be
one man show.
Yeah, but our friend Cecilia, you know, she's got a cat that she talks, like gives a voice to.
Yep.
Granted, her voice for Rupert is the same voice for any animal that she sees.
Yes.
So there's that.
She's the animal voice.
Yeah, but even, you know, Tony Award winning actress and Chicagoan Rhonda Reed.
Yes.
Like, she is such a dog lover. It's
she
not
is
even,
indeed.
Oh my gosh, Boo. Like, there are long narratives about Boo and the cone of shame and yep. things that happened with, I mean, I just think that there is something about, some people are just animal lovers,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of take them in, and especially if, you know, I think there is some sort of thing, like if you don't have children or mm-hmm. or you're empty nesters or something, there is something great that you have this other living being
mm-hmm.
next to you. And I'm allergic to cats, so they always kind of drive me crazy, but like with dogs, there's nothing better mm-hmm. than opening up a door
mm-hmm.
to come home and they're like, oh my god, it's you.
Yeah,
you came back and that is awesome and yeah. you're so great and I love you.
See, the thing I say every time I walk out the door is, I'll be right back. I say that every time I walk out the door with Nilla. So, and I don't believe dogs, well, my dog does not have a concept of 20 minutes or 20 days. Like, she just really doesn't. So when I go out and I'm going to the store and I come back, she's just so excited. She runs from wherever she is to the back door, so excited to see me. And when I came back from Italy after being gone 2 weeks, she just, you know, ran from the, you know, front door and came and saw me. And it's the same. I mean, it's the same enthusiasm of like, oh my god, there
it's
you are.
You.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
And it's not any different than if I just went out to put something in my car and came back in the door.
Although I will say, when we got back.
Oh, I bet Buster's different.
Buster
though.
Was
he knew.
Totally different. And
yeah.
He probably isn't. But it, I mean, he was different. Like.
He was like,
he was attacking, like, oh my god, where did you go? I'm so happy to see you. And he was doing this little tweet that he does, singing to you. Why eat your face off?
Yeah, the other thing that I think is very interesting is my dog will not kiss me. She will not lick me. She will not kiss or lick my face. But she will to certain other people, especially men.
Mm-hmm.
She has to you.
Yes.
And to Jerry. But she won't to me. And I don't know if that's an alpha thing because, you know, I found her when she was 4 weeks. So I am definitely
right.
mother. So she definitely doesn't do that to me. But But
maybe
Buster's
you should lick her. Maybe. And then she will start licking you.
I actually am pretty fine with that arrangement. I don't really love dogs to lick
don't.
Me in the face. So it's actually,
yeah, Buster's
once again,
intense.
Like I said, like Nilla is like perfect. Because I did have a little dog who would just try to lick you and try to get her tongue inside your mouth.
Yes.
Or Daisy.
Yeah, oh,
Daisy
yeah.
used to try to like literally French kiss you.
Well, she was a French bull.
She was a French
so
bull
she
and she
French
tried to French
kiss
you. So I'm okay with the fact that Nilla doesn't want to kiss me. It works out. She likes to hump you and not kiss me. And I feel like that arrangement
I love
is
it. She, again,
perfect.
Much like a whore.
Much like a
I
whore.
I will hump but no kiss.
Hump but no kiss.
No kiss.
No kiss. All right. Well, I'm going to say au revoir to the bison.
And I will say au revoir to your humpy dog.
To my humpy dog. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on whether or not gay people are more crazy or just Scott Defner are crazy for spending time
crazy.
Talking about this. But I think it's true.
It's your purple sheep that brought it on.
It's the purple sheep that brought it on. And I do know that there's some people in our Windy City family who are pretty obsessive about their dogs,
yes.
too. So maybe they will comment.
Please.
I think
send pictures.
Might. Pictures?
Pictures of pups.
Pictures of pups.
Maybe I'll send you a picture of Buster to put on there.
Okay. If you look on our show and it's Buster, that's him.
With a cute reindeer ass.
That's true. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, Queer and Now.